Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Punkdemic Podcast. I'm MC Johnny T, aka You Know Who. Dick Flair, of course. And I'm joined by none other than the queen of everything. How are you doing today, Miss Amazon?
Doing good. It's been a long day. Yes.
It's been a marathon of podcast episodes that we've been recording today. We've had some challenges along the way, but you know, I just see it more as just a little sprinkling of excitement to just, you know, swerve us a little to a left turn when we really wanted to go right. But you know what? We're right where we need to be right now. And this episode that's coming up is sponsored by Punkdemic.com. Who else? Where you can get your official Punkdemic beanies, baseball caps, t-shirts, jerseys, baby bibs, pacifiers, rattlers.
We don't have that stuff. We don't have it.
We need to talk to management about that then.
I am management. There's no pacifiers and all. Oh my God. Okay. You know what? Okay.
But you know what we do have? You know what we do have though?
What do we have?
We have some unbeatable prices. If you head on over to punkdemic.com right now, go ahead and get yourself a head start on those hoodies because hoodie season is going to start real, real soon. And we might actually be there by the time this episode is actually streaming live wherever you consume your podcast content. So don't cheat yourself. Treat yourself. So some hot merchandise available only at punkdemic.com. And you know what else? We're going to treat you to a real special guest today. We're going to treat you to a little something that might be unexpected, but never disrespected. Probably something that you might come to expect over time because, you know, we like to keep that quality good. We like to take everything to the next level. That's what we do around here. You know, Amazon batting a million. On the guest bookings, I have to extend my professional and just really just praise for all that you do to keep the lights on here at Punkdemic. Incredible.
Thank you very much.
You know, I mean, without you, there would be no Punkdemic.
Well, that's true.
Have you thought about that ever?
Yes. I am Punkdemic. What are you?
Okay, buddy.
I appreciate it, but yes, let's get him in here. I've gotten to see him play. I was fortunate enough to have him play for me before. He's in more than one band. I love both the bands. He's just good people all the way around, and so I'm looking forward to this. So let's get him in and let's get started.
Let's put those paws together for none other than Oscar Garcia. Yeah.
Look, no sound effects, Oscar. Nothing.
There he is. In all of his glory and all of his splendor.
Oh, my God.
All of his majestic energy. We've got the man, the myth, the legendary, the untouchable, Mr. Unfunkwittable himself, Oscar Garcia, is in the house. How are you doing today, Mr. Garcia?
I'm doing all right. And you guys?
Not bad. I'm doing good because Amazon hasn't kicked me out yet.
I was just going to say, you can go ahead and go. See you later.
What's the magic word?
Right now?
I'll accept it. Only because we're in front of Oscar, but next time. Next time, lady.
Next time. Got it. Hey, Oscar, good to see you.
What's up?
Man, it's been a long time.
Yeah, yes, it has.
My gosh.
I remember the last show we did for you, it was in Pomona.
It was 2000 and... God, was it 12? 13? 10? I don't know.
It was out there. It was at Characters, I think.
It was at Characters. It was at least 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And you guys still came in and kicked ass. And so I don't know where to start because you're such a busy guy. What's going on with you? How do you work it out with you, Terrorizer and Nausea? How do you balance doing both those bands? Like, How do you keep up?
Well, I'm not saying it's a hassle. I mean, you know, it takes time. And then, you know, we don't end up doing every show that they offer us. So we pretty much handpick the shows we can do. Mm. Especially with Terrorizer, there's the other guys, drummer plays in multiple bands. And the guitar player, Leon, he plays in a couple other bands too. So we got to prioritize what dates we're going to do. And for Nausea, it's a little bit more easier, but it's like Eric has his family. I got my family. And we got to see what dates fit in for us to play.
And you've been doing this how long now?
For a long time.
I know you want to say exactly how long, but...
Oh, since 89.
Really?
Well, even before that, I think we were playing in backyards like in 86, 87.
With Terrorizer or Nausea, yet?
I had both bands back then, too.
Really?
Yep, I had both bands. I had both bands. My main band back then was Terrorizer until we got signed and the other guys took off to other bands. And then after that, then Nausea became more of my priority.
Well, I'll say I think what I liked when I met you was, number one, your wife was there at the gig. Like, you're very family oriented, and I love that about you.
Well, she used to go to gigs even before we were married.
Yeah?
Back in the days when we were dating. Mm-hmm. And she used to go to the shows and all that with us, too. Well, as a matter of fact, I met her at a show, so.
Did you really? I never heard that story. Really?
Yeah, I met her at a show. It was a backyard show. She went to go see. She honestly didn't go want to see me. She was actually seeing somebody else, and I saw her. And I saw her. She was. I saw her. We were playing, and I saw her. And then that's when I saw her, and that's when I said that she's the one. She was the one. She was the one that was gonna be for me.
Really? That is such a cool story.
Yeah.
You know why? Because you're so quiet and calm. I cannot see you going up to somebody like, "Hey, girl, what's like?"
Oh no, I didn't do it that way. But then
how did you do it? I want to know because you're so calm.
Well, at that time I was drinking, so it was easier to do after a few beers and all that. But yeah, I knew what I wanted. So
I cannot picture that at all because you're so chill and quiet. Well, until you get on stage, and then oh my gosh, but.
That's what everybody says. Even a couple of my coworkers, they trip out because they find out that I'm still doing that. But at work, I'm a little bit different. And then when they click on YouTube and see the videos and they see the shows we've done, it goes, "Man, wait a minute, Eagles. We can't believe it's you.
Isn't that something?
Just so quiet at work and you're just, you know, kept to yourself most of the time." And then we see you and you're like, and the whole thing and all that stuff.
I can't believe you still have your voice after all this time.
I got that recently by a lot of people too.
For
a
us?
Lot of people, especially when we do the Terrorizer stuff. A lot of people come up to me and they go, "Dude, man, you still sound the same." I'm like, I guess I just try to do the best I can. I go, it's a little harder now because I'm older, but you know, I wasn't a big smoker back then. I didn't smoke. I didn't do any of that stuff. I drank, but that's pretty much it.
That makes a difference, not smoking, for sure.
Yeah, I wasn't a big deal. It wasn't a big thing for me, smoking. I don't like smoking, so I never really smoked. So. It's probably that would help me a lot.
I was going to say, my voice gets tired just yelling at the kids all day. I can't imagine. 20 years plus doing that, and you still have the same vocals.
I trip out on it because I didn't think at my age right now I'll still be doing it, but I still am.
And why? Why are you still doing it? You're still doing it because you just love to do it. You can't help yourself but to do
it. You know, I took a maybe within all those years, maybe 10 years, I didn't play.
Oh.
I didn't play at all. I didn't even pick up my guitar. I didn't, you know, it's, like for 10 years, I was doing other things. And then I remember Eric came up to me one time and we got offered to play the Maryland Death Fest.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And he kept telling me about this fest and, you know, he kept on calling me and, you know, after, you know, because I never really talked to him within those 10 years. I'll maybe once every month or something, so-and-so. You know, I was doing a bunch of other stuff. And then he kept on telling me about the Maryland Death Fest. The promoter kept on messaging him saying that he wanted Nausea to play. And at that time, I was, like, out of everything, so I didn't know what was going on. So I told him, I go, dude, man, I haven't even picked up my guitar or did vocals or anything. He goes, oh, you know what, man? He goes, but let's do this fest. I go, I haven't done anything. I go, plus, we got to get new band members. I go, the other guys, we don't know where they went to. So he went on and got other guys. It was my daughter's first year birthday, and I invited him over, and he brought the guys over.
Oh, wow.
And we were talking about it, and we ended up finding a rehearsal space to play, a practice, and then we practiced like 3 months before Merlin Death Fest. We ended up going over there. It was a response that was, we got a real good response. And afterwards, he told me, well, what's going to happen? I go, well, if you want, let's keep on doing it then. And a big thing that helped us out at that time, they had like, Facebook wasn't around. I remember that MySpace. It was like, yes. Facebook. Yeah, so we started doing that, and then when Facebook came around, we started putting all our stuff there, and it just took off. People started digging it, and you know, people just saw our stuff, and promoters started offering us shows, and we ended up going. I think we did a tour in Europe. We did like 7 days there. Yeah, it just took off from there.
Is that the only time you went to Europe? How many times have you?
I went twice. I went once with Nausea, and then Terrorizer got an offer to play. Terrorizer was a lot longer. I was there for like about two and a half weeks.
How'd you like Europe? What'd you think of Europe?
Different. It's a lot different, but the thing is, it's like when we play in Mexico, fans there are more passionate about the music. They dig it more. Same thing in Europe. I mean, over here, don't get me wrong, there's some people that, you know, there are true to the thing, but most of them, they just follow, you know, bandwagon thing.
Right.
But not in Mexico and not in Europe, man. They're hardcore into, you know. But I'm not saying there's not people here that are hardcore too, but, you know, there's, you know, your wannabes too.
No, a lot of bands tell me that their experience when they go out of the country is so much different. Like the energy they get from the fans.
Yep.
How hardcore like they are about the music. Yeah.
I go, it's like they appreciate the music more. They appreciate everything more.
I wonder why that is, right? Like,
I don't know.
It's a trip. That's interesting. Yeah. A lot of bands I talk to love when they tour Europe. They love it. They go, the fans are crazy. They give us so much energy and love when we go.
Especially the Czech Republic, man. It was like, oh, man.
Really?
Yeah, we did the Obscene Extreme.
Okay.
That was it, man. That's, to me, that's my pinnacle.
Really?
Because when we got to the Czech Republic, because that was like, for Terrorizer, we did like 2.5 weeks, but right in the middle of the week was the show in the Czech Republic, the Obscene Extreme. And when we pulled in there, it's like, what do you call that venue? It's like an open air venue, and it was packed.
Really?
It was packed, huge stage, had those big TVs, those huge screens on the side.
Like the Hollywood Bowl or something like that big?
What do you call that one? The one by the observatory? What do you call that one?
I'm trying to think of it too.
Yeah.
I had shows
there before. I know, I've been there. I saw a few bands there. It's like an open air thing. So that's the way it was. It was an open air, and it was packed, and people jump on stage, they do all that stuff, and you know, they let them, which is cool. To me, that doesn't bother me. I know some people do. They want people not to jump on stage or whatever, but for me, I go, it's cool.
Yeah, because that's part of the fun, you know, is being able to do that. And
Stage dive, do all that stuff. Yeah, but some bands don't like it. Some bands want them to stay off.
Oh, really? See. Shows what I know.
Yeah, you know, to each their own.
So since I saw you, gosh, however many years that was that you played, have any of the members changed or still the same guys?
Well, for Nausea, me and Eric, so it's always been since the beginning. I could say that he's like my brother. I mean, he's the one who I started Nausea with him.
Okay.
Back in 86. He's been pretty much my only drummer for Nausea. I mean, we rarely fight or disagree. I go, he knows what I could do. I know what he could do. I just come up with the stuff. I tell him just to put the drums into it. I go and that's the way it works. But and then we had numerous guitar players and bass players, you know. But right now we got a pretty much a steady lineup. We still have Alejandro on bass. And we just kept it as a three-piece because before we used to have two guitars. And we always had a hassle with the guitar players here and there. So, I mean, to keep it simple, I just told Eric, man, let's just keep it as a three-piece. Mm-hmm. I go, I'll handle the guitars, vocals, and we got our bass and the drums. And, yeah, that's the way it's been for a while now.
You mentioned the drummer for Terrorizer. What's his name? He's amazing. Yeah.
Oh, that's Adam. Adam, and he has his own band called Carlitch. He has his own band, and then he plays with Exhum, and he plays with Ghoul.
Uh-huh.
And with I think Ghoul? He plays with another band. He plays with like four bands.
Did you say Ghoul?
Ghoul, yes. He plays with Ghoul too.
I've been trying to get a hold of Ghoul forever to get him to play. Are they still playing up? They're up north, right? Like a
he lives in Frisco, San Francisco.
Yeah, ever since when I was doing the Pirate Punks back in the day, when I got into it through the Oakland chapter. I used to be up in the Bay Area all the time. Right. I love Ghoul. I think they're so awesome.
He plays drums for Ghoul, and I told you Exhum sometimes, and then Ella has his own band, Cartilage.
Nice.
And I think he plays in another band. So he's real busy, so that's why, you know, playing-wise, it's kind of hard because we had offers to play a lot more shows this year, but it interfered with some of the dates that he was already committed to with the other bands. That's why Terrorizer doesn't play as much, which is fine with us because we just rather not play as much.
So, right?
Yeah, it gets old quick and then people stop going and all that.
I never got to see Ghoul. That's why I got excited. Anytime they were playing, something happened, and I couldn't go. Every time. So, oh, man, that's cool. So did you guys came out with an album recently, no? Or something?
No.
You did something? What did you do?
No,
oh, you know
we
what?
Haven't released.
It was a show. Anything. It was a show that I think it had got canceled or something recently.
Not Which too one? Long Which ago. Band?
For Nausea.
Oh, Nausea, the last show we did... It was a few months ago. We were going to do a show. The one that got canceled was... this was a few months ago where it was for that Taco Punk guy.
Oh,
he canceled it at the last minute.
Oh, he canceled?
I don't know what happened.
He canceled.
Yeah, he canceled. It wasn't us.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know what happened there, but he ended up canceling that one. Then we did another show, and then that was pretty much it. No, and then... we just got one more show coming up. And
you
that'll
do?
Be the last show for the year. Huh?
Where's the one coming up? Where's that
We're
show?
We're playing right? October 4th at 1720 with DRI.
Oh,
so
nice.
It's going to be DRI, Final Conflict, Evil Dead, and a couple other bands.
That's going to be a good one.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a real good show, man. Yeah, they offered us that about a month and a half ago. So we couldn't turn that out. I mean,
DRI, that's good.
No way to turn that one down.
I might have to check it out.
They'll be the last show for Nausea for the year.
If they didn't already sell out.
Pardon me?
I said if they didn't already sell out, I wouldn't mind seeing you guys and DRI together. That would be.
Yeah, I know DRI, man. I was like, wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah, pretty much after this, we're just going to be concentrating on an EP. We want to release an EP and see what happens.
That's what I was going to ask you. If you're going to put out anything new.
Well, we have the music. We have everything. But the thing is, it's just hard to get together. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Eric has his family. I got my family and we got things. And it's not like back then where we didn't have all that. So we had a lot of time to practice and all that, but we have the songs. The only thing we have to do is just get together, practice them, and then just record them. It'll probably be like maybe 6-7 song EP.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'll be it for and then hopefully we'll release it. We're looking at maybe hopefully next year, early next year. I hope.
I'm looking forward to it. I was gonna ask you when you do the writing, who does the writing for the like the lyrics?
I do all the writing.
That's you.
Uh-huh. I'll do the writing and then I'll do most of the riffs. Bass player will do some. And then Eric just handles all the drums. It's like I told you, I'll come up with the riff and the whole thing and like an idea. And you know, I know Eric so well and he knows me, so he knows what I like, and then he knows what I expect from him, and it just works out. And we rarely argue, or I think we've only argued like maybe out of all these years we've been playing together, maybe a couple times.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, not like other bands that, oh, no, I don't like that. I don't want you to, nah. No, I mean, it was just like a couple of times, and it wasn't even about music. It was about other things.
That's funny.
Yeah, it is.
When you come up with the things that you're writing, how does that work? Is it something like you're just going through your day and it pops in your head and you hurry up and you write it down? Or
that's pretty much whatever. Yeah, it's pretty much that. It's just like things that happen in life. You know, like everything that has happened, I pretty much write it down. And I just turn it into a song. So yeah, I don't go for all this, like, singing about the devil and fairies and dragons and all that, and, you know, Vikings and stuff. I just try to write about real stuff where people could relate to. It's just stuff that I go through.
You said fairies and Vikings. That's funny.
Vikings, all that, you know. I mean, it's cool. I go, you know, those type of bands that do it, man. But I go, I don't write that way. Mine is just more about being real. And other people who are going through that stuff, they could relate to.
That's true. So when you started back in, my God, in the 80s, I feel like I'm getting older. When I hear myself say it, I go, oh my God, I feel old. Who are some of the bands like that you were listening to, some of the musicians that you really loved that said, you know what, I'm going to start yelling into this damn microphone?
Well, honestly, because like, at very first, I didn't come out as a singer. I just play guitar.
Uh-huh.
We used to have this other guy that sang, and you know, it was another guy playing guitar. We had another friend of ours playing bass, and then we had a drummer. We had some singer, and he's the one who sang. We did a couple of these little talent shows, and we did okay. I'm not saying we did great, but we did okay because we're still learning how to play, and all that. I guess all that went to his head.
Really?
And I remember one day we were all getting to go rehearse, and he shows up and he goes that he was going to leave the band because he was going to go to a different band that was more established, that knew how to play and all that. And at that time, I was barely learning how to play. So, you know, I was burying where all of us were, me, the other guitar player, all of us. And for him to do that, he just kind of slapped us in the face and he just walked out on us.
Wow.
So we were just standing there saying, oh man, we need somebody to do vocals. You know, we're just like, you know, and then we were just standing around, and out of nowhere I said, you know what, man, I said, just you know, the hell with it, I'll do it. And then, like, you know, they tripped out. He goes, can you do it? I go, I don't know. I go, I'm gonna try to play guitar and do vocals. you know, back then death metal was barely coming up, so they had a lot of we listened to like bands like Death and their demos and Sodom and stuff like that. So they had that kind of high, kind of streaky like voice, Destruction and all that. So that's the way I started. I mean, we did well at first, whole thing, and then we just kept going after that. I just started getting used to it more and more. And then later on, other bands started coming around where, you know, no, all this was Terrorizer. Nausea wasn't around at first. Then later on, you know, Jesse used to be a big tape trader. So he used to get a bunch of tapes from all these bands from all around the world. One day he gave me a tape and he goes, listen to this. And I was hearing some death metal on one side, but on the B side, he recorded me the first Napalm Death album. Ooh. And it had the Extreme Noise Terror and it had Doom. But he didn't tell me about those bands. So I went on and I just turned the tape around and I threw it on and I was listening to that. I'm like, wow. I go, this stuff is... I go, this is it, man. I go, I heard the vocals and all that. Next day, we went to practice and I told him, this is the stuff we should be doing over here. I go, because we're playing a lot of shows. And back in the late 80s, there was a lot of death metal bands. Mm. A lot of them. And I told him, I go, well, we're just like everybody else. I go, if we switch over to this style a lot faster and, you know, mixed in with hardcore and all that, I go, and then I'll change my voice around to a deeper, more, you know, growly voice. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll stand out, which we did, because a lot of people didn't understand us when we played shows. Yeah, because they were expecting death metal and we stopped doing death metal. And then at that time too, I started switching music. I started lingering away from the death metal stuff. I remember I had a guy that at some record store that he would always save me records. And then one time I went in there and I saw my first Discharge album. It was that Hear Nothing, See Nothing, Say Nothing. The cover looked cool and I grabbed it, and the guy that worked there, he was a punk, and then he saw me grab it and he told me, so you know what that is? I go, nah. I go, but the cover looks cool. And I turned it around and I saw them with the Mohawks and all that. I go, oh damn. And he goes, well, if you buy it, if you don't like it, bring it back. I go, oh, well. All right. So I ended up buying it, went home. And when I heard that, I go, oh, my God.
You loved it.
Yeah. And that's when I started listening to more of the punk stuff, of the harder stuff, like the Discharge. And then I discovered Doom and Crust, you know, D-Beat and all that. And that's where... out of one day out of nowhere, I just, you know, we weren't practicing much with Terrorizer. And I remember Eric lived right down where I lived at, but I didn't know him. But I heard him play drums. Mm. And I'm going, huh. So one day I just walked over, and then I saw him, and I just introduced myself. And, you know, we started talking, and I told him if he wanted to start up a band. And I told him what type of music. And... Mm. And he said he was cool with it. It first started out as Majesty.
Yeah.
You know, trying to mimic Master, trying to copy him a little bit.
Okay.
And then it just evolved into Nausea. And that's what we started doing, trying to get more of the D-beat punk, you know, influence type. I mean, they still consider us grindcore, you know, I guess. But I think we're more of a D-beat band. I mean, we don't blast as much as the Terrorizer does. Terrorizer is like full speed.
Yes. Yes, it is. That's neat. Okay, so right around that time, how old were you, Oscar?
Maybe about 20, 23, 24. Somewhere around there.
So you heard those albums and it just flipped your
switch. Well, the thing is, honestly, I didn't want to play music.
What?
No, I didn't. Not until I hit maybe 19 years old, I got into music. Before that, I wanted to be a ball player, baseball player.
No.
I, Yeah, I played baseball until I was 17, 18 years old. And then I guess it didn't work out. I thought I was pretty good. I was probably the best in the area where I lived at. But, you know, when someone tells you you're not as good as you think you are, you know, it, you know, kind of breaks your heart.
Right.
So I stopped playing, which I shouldn't have, but I stopped playing. And then remember, I was just kicking back with some guys. And this one guy always had like those old school boom boxes. And he would listen to like Judas Priest, Iron Maiden and all that. And I'd be like, damn, that's pretty cool. He would tell me and all that. And I would listen to the guitar. And I remember I had an uncle that was a musician. He played since he was real small. And I remember I hit him up. I go, do you think you could teach me something on guitar?
Yeah.
You know, he was saying, well, you're starting too late. You're going to be 19 already. You're going to barely pick up the guitar. I go, well, just show me a little bit. I go, just show me, you know, the basics, and then I'll just figure it out myself. So he did, and the whole thing. And then, you know, that's how I started out with those type of bands first. And then, you know, I learned. Jesse, same thing. We both learned from each other. And then we just started getting into death metal at first, and then it evolved, and Jesse stayed with that side, and I started drifting away and getting to the harder stuff and all that. But yeah, that's the way it started.
Man.
But yeah, originally I didn't want to, you know, I didn't know anything about music until I was about 19.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And you weren't.
A lot of people tell me that. He goes, oh man, you must have started when you're like, no. I go, nah.
And you weren't going to see bands and stuff like that when you were a teenager at all? Or you just wanted to play baseball?
Yeah. Wow. I wanted to play for the Dodgers back in the days. And I thought I was good enough because I was the best where I lived at, you know.
But, isn't that something?
Yeah, but when somebody tells you, you know, breaks your heart, you know.
Just because you're the best in your neighborhood doesn't mean you're the best everywhere, huh?
Well, I was the kid that was at first was picked last, and then I ended up being the kid that wanted to be picked first. So I didn't prove that much. But yeah, but yeah. It's what it is, man. But you can see it in my daughter, you know, how my daughter plays.
I was just going to say, you got your ball player anyway, didn't you?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah.
I've been watching her grow up. Like,
when she was small?
Yeah, I've been watching all the posts because I keep up with your wife and everything. There,
yeah.
So I've literally watched her grow up, you know, and now she's big and she's beautiful. It's so crazy to see that, but you got your ball player. You did.
Yeah. She hung in there all this time. She's only a couple years away from her dream. I go, hopefully she ends up playing college ball.
She wants to play in college, huh?
Yep. I mean, she got a few offers already. I mean, she's waiting for the offer. I mean, she's few schools have already have interest in her.
That's interesting.
So, you know, but she's almost there. I mean, she's a junior after this. It's one more year, and then, you know, I lose her. I'm going to be, you know, something without my ball player.
She won't be going too far.
Oh, she wants to go to school in Colorado.
Oh, man. Well, that's kind of, you could get there kind of, it's close. It's not like she's going across to New York.
Well, there's a couple schools across state that are looking at her, too. I'm like, oh, my God, it's even further.
What are you going to do?
You know, but it's going to be her choice. I go, you know, she's going to grow up to be a young lady, and she's going to have to make her own choices.
Nah. You know. How did you, over the years, how do you balance all of that? Like, I always talk to Johnny about balancing, like, your passion, which is whatever, your music, and your family, and all of, like, how do you, over the years, how did you keep all that together where you're still playing?
It's like I told you, it's the playing part. I go, you know, we just handpick the shows that we can do.
Mm.
You know, it's, I mean, the playing part's not, it's not really that much of a hassle. I go, you know, if we can't do a show, we can't do it. You know, the promoter put it out, and then, you know, I might be able to do it. Eric might not. He'll tell me I can't do it. So, you know, I'll respect his, you know, opinion. Like I said, he's got an offer from from a few people, and the same thing here. Like, he'll tell me, can you do it? I go, no, I can't do it, because either my daughter's playing and we're out of town or something, or something with the family, and, you know, we just can't do it. Same thing with Terrorizer. We all, you know, we first agree on what we're going to do, and if one of us can't do it, we can't do it. So it's
safe to say you prioritize the family is first, and then everything else.
Yeah, with me and Eric, that's the first thing.
Yeah. And that's probably why you still have your family with you. And I say that because some guys, they don't, the music, the band, it starts to take priority over, you know, their family life.
We know what's important. I mean, don't get me wrong. I go, the music's important too. I go, we're grateful for all this time that people have dug our stuff. Right. I mean, because, you know, honestly, man, because I know when we play a lot of these places, and then like promoters come up to us and they're like, they trip out on us, saying that we're not like, you know, rock stars and the whole thing that want all this stuff. I go, we're not. I go, no. I go, we're just like everybody else. I go, you know, we just, you know, without everybody liking our stuff, we're nothing. I go, we can put out the music, but if no one likes it, you know. But we're grateful that all these years people dug it, and we trip out now that some of these kids growing up, they're digging our stuff too. We're like, wow. Yeah, because, you know, when we play shows, we get a mixed crowd. We get the older crowd that have been around from back then, come out, still see us here and there. And then we get a mixture of the kids nowadays, and they trip out. And they're like, oh, man, you guys are, I don't know. We've been around for a long time, man. So we just don't play.
Literally. That's neat. That's another thing, too. Like, I've run into a lot of bands from doing the different things that I do and just liking music. But when I pick the ones that I want to work with or book, for me, I go by the ones that I could relate to the most, the ones that weren't too big of rock stars, you know, to be regular people. Those are the people that stick out in my head that I remember, you know, more than others. And there's some that, you know, are more popular or bigger names, but they weren't friendly or they weren't personable.
Yeah, we've got a few bands like that. I mean, you know, to each their own, man. I'm like, you know. That's what I say.
But I remember, people remember when they run into you, a fan or whatever, they remember that. Like it sticks.
Oh, I know. I trip out, man. I tripped out. It's like what happened to me, like when Terrorizer played at we played with Catch One, we opened up for Master, and then last week we went to, me and my son went to the market. I was laughing, man, because we went to a market, I wanted to go buy some stuff. And the cashier was a guy, and he kept looking at me. And then he pointed at me. He goes, "I saw you last week." And I go, I looked at him. I go, "What?" He goes, "You were at Catch One. You played in that band, huh?" I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "What a trip, man." He goes, "I never knew that you played in the band." I go, "Well, yeah. Well, I'm not gonna come around telling everybody I play in a band." And then he goes, "Now it makes sense. You walk in here and you have all these T-shirts from different bands on." And he goes, "Now," he goes, "oh, that's pretty cool and the whole thing." And then, you know, I just start laughing when I, you know, people recognize or whatever. You know, that's pretty cool, man, but it's funny.
No, but you guys were, I remember you guys were chill and just easy to deal with, you know, and everybody's not like that. So sticks in my head.
Yeah, well, I mean, why make things difficult?
I wish everybody thought like that, Oscar. You know, I do.
Why put more stress on stuff or whatever? I just keep everything simple. You know, everything will work out.
Do you guys have anything already planned for next year or no? As far as shows?
I'm saying Nausea will hopefully by next year, we'll have that 7-inch out. I mean, the EP out.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be like 6-7 songs. And then Terrorizer, I can't say anything about them right now. We're trying to keep everything on the low down.
Yes.
But we just might surprise the world, so.
Do you guys still put out vinyl?
Huh?
Do you still put out vinyl?
Yeah, we got vinyls. We got a few reissues and all that. As a matter of fact, now just getting, hopefully it comes in November. We've been working with that FDAD, that label. They're gonna release on a double vinyl all of our demos. It's
really?
A double vinyl. Yeah, it's coming out in November. Hopefully in November. That's what he told me. I just send them the last stuff last week. I had to send them some old flyers and all that because the guys are in Italy. And they did our first demo one like a few years back, which did well. But I found a whole bunch of demos that we had, and then two demos that we never released. So he's putting everything in a double vinyl and all that from pretty much the beginning to where Nausea started, where it was like punk stuff. And then towards what? Where we were evolving into more of a, that's when we started changing the music a little bit. A lot of people didn't dig it. We started getting more into more into the Godflesh type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so from going from DB to songs that are like almost 6-7 minutes long, I guess people didn't like it. I mean, but that's when that's what we're evolving to. And that's what that double vinyl is going to have. And I think he's going to include a live show that we did back in,
okay,
I think 87.
Okay.
87 or 80. It was 92. We played at the Waters Club in San Pedro. I mean,
that's where I was born. I used to go to shows in the Waters Club.
Nausea did one there when we released A Crimes Against Humanity. Some guy recorded a soundboard. Sounds real good. So it's going to get released there on vinyl too.
What? Okay, listen. I want that vinyl.
Oh,
Oscar, save me one, please. And I want you guys to sign it. I want, just one.
Yeah, no problem when he finally releases it.
I want one. Oh, my goodness. I'm excited. Because you don't see too many double vinyl either.
Well, that guy does a lot of good double vinyls. He puts a good package together.
And you're going to use the old flyer? That's going to be neat.
Yeah, I found a bunch of old flyers, and that's what he was waiting on me for. I had to scan them, and then had to send them over. And then last week, I finally did it. And it's like, and he approved everything because it came out good. He said,
nice.
So he could finalize everything, and they could start printing. So he told me, hopefully in November, I hope so. And then that's when we get our copies, and that's when we start selling all that stuff.
Okay, I want a copy. I swear,
No problem.
I'm gonna be harassing. I'm gonna cry.
I'll put one on the side.
All right. Well, we're gonna get ready to wrap up pretty soon. I've been talking to you for a while, and I don't know about you, but it's been a long day for me. And thank you for taking time. I appreciate it. I know we all got so much going on, and so when somebody takes some problem. Time.
Well, I don't really do too many interviews, so.
I haven't seen them.
Yeah, that's why I don't really do too many interviews. I know I've gotten offered a lot, but I don't really do too many interviews.
I appreciate it. That's why I went through, the family.
I know. She told me. I know. Kathleen told me, and she told me, I think last week she told me, and I told her, yeah, all right, I'll do it.
I told her, I said, how am I going to do this? I said, I'm going to tell Kathleen. I'm going to ask her.
Yeah, I remember I came home from work and she told me, and I told her, yeah. I go, all right, I'll do it then.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
And like this morning, she reminded me, remember at 6 o'clock, I go, okay.
Well, I have to tell her thank you. And I come out with some more merch and stuff. I'll get you guys some stuff over there. I know you have probably a billion t-shirts, but you're going to get at least a couple more over there. And
that's cool.
I appreciate it so much. So, Johnny, do your thing that you do.
I mean, this is the part where I would usually say, plug what you got going on. But, Amazon, you kind of infringed on my gimmick a little bit, just kind of. I don't really get too much on the show around here, just a little bit. I get. Oscar, how can people who are just discovering you, where can they find you? Which social media platforms, if any, do you participate on? Where are you posting? Where can people find some of your already released music, if there's anywhere where people can find your stuff. Just tell people how they can get a hold of you.
Did we lose you?
No, he's still there. He's still there.
Did you hear him, Oscar?
No, I can't hear him at all.
Oh,
I could hear you, but I can't hear him.
I don't know what's happening here, but go ahead and relay the question.
He was just saying before we go, tell people where they can find your music or what, like social media. What places can people link up with you?
You can find us on Instagram. It'll be Nausea LA or Terrorizer LA. And same thing with Facebook. It'll be Nausea LA and Terrorizer LA. They got everything in there, merch, the whole thing, whatever people need.
Okay.
And then, of course, the shows, too. You know, we got T-shirts, you know, vinyls, CDs.
All right.
Well, make sure when you do the next show or whatever, send me the flyers. I put everybody's flyers up on the Punkdemic page.
And I'll put it up. I'll send you the DRI one.
Oh, man, I want to go to that one. I'm not going to lie. I'm thinking about it right now. Yeah. Okay,
yeah,
for sure.
We were grateful we got offered that one, man. I know Nacho Corrupt's the one who hit us up because we did the CY Fest for him last year.
Oh, okay. I know Nacho. He's a cool guy.
Yeah, he's cool. And then he's always hooked us up, man. I think he's the one who got us a Doom show, I think, too.
See? Yeah, no, Nacho's cool.
When Doom came around, man, that was it because that was like my idols there.
That's nice. Yeah, Nacho does some good shows. That's cool.
Yeah, he does, man. He does. And I think he did the Resistant Culture one. And
dude, I love... Are they still playing?
I don't know. We played with them last year.
I love Resistant Culture. I love them.
Remember, we played with them last year at the Echoplex.
I'm going to have to start keeping track of you because you've been playing with all the good bands lately.
Well, it's here and there. It's like maybe once a year we'll get a big show, like the one, the DRI show.
Man.
Which is cool for us, man. You know, I go, we don't have to, we don't wear ourselves out too much, you know, because we start playing a lot and, like, you know, people just stop going.
That's how it is. They see you too much.
Yeah, exactly. So we wait. All right. We'll play like a couple of little shows and then somebody will throw the big one at us, like the way the DRI this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll just jump on that. And last year it was the CY Fest. Then the year before it was the Resistant Culture.
That's neat.
It was another band too. It was another band from Sweden. It was a DB band.
Huh.
I forgot the name. They were pretty cool.
See, I'm going to keep track because you get those good shows every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
All right. Well, we're going to get ready. Let you go ahead and go. Thank you again. When we say goodbye, remember to hang around a little bit so we can make sure everything is in order. And Johnny, go ahead and send us out.
All right. Thanks for being a part of another action-packed Punkdemic-powered episode of the Punkdemic Podcast. Shout out and thank you to our guest, Oscar Garcia, who does not entertain these interviews very often. So thanks for rocking with us today. Until next time, everyone, so long, be kind to your mind and each other. Peace. Like last year, we out of here. Rise like yeast.
Oh, my God.
All right, fine. So bossy.